Hello, I'm Rob Lee, and welcome to this TNA Impact Wrestling interview special. My guests today are the superstars involved in TNA Wrestling British Bootcamp, which is due to debut. They're ready for it.
Yeah.
On New Year's Day, 10 p.m. on Challenge. My guests are Marty's Girl,
Yo,
Hannah and Holly, the Blossom Twins, and Rockstar Spud. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
Hello.
What up, love?
What up?
Well, so here we go. So we're going to sweep across you all, ask you a few questions, then talk to you individually. So let's start with you, Marty.
Why not?
What's your earliest wrestling memory as a fan? I'm sure you've never been asked this before. And do you think it has directly influenced your approach?
Okay, well, originally, my mother, sort of single mum, brought me up, and she worked in a home for disabled people. And I was in school holidays. She had nothing to do with me but take me to work with her. And obviously, daytime TV is a bit boring for a 6 year old. And so I had to pick videos that I wanted to watch. And all I really had was horror videos, which I couldn't watch because I was six, and wrestling videos. So the first ever wrestling video I picked up was Mick McManus's World of Wrestling.
Wow.
So yeah, first ever match I saw was Dave Finlay and Danny Collins, and I can honestly say, like, yeah, they've had an absolute huge influence on me. So it's crazy to think that, like, I saw them as a 6 year old, and now sometimes, like, I'm on shows with those guys. So, you know, it's a pretty crazy and surreal experience.
You were spoiled. I think my first match was the six man at SummerSlam 92 with the Bushwhackers.
So. That was great.
That's not as exciting. Ladies, it's a pleasure to meet you, see you, and greet you. The same question.
Very, very first taste of wrestling was Hulk Hogan. I think WCW was on at our granddad's house, and we watched literally maybe 5 or 10 minutes of it, but we knew it, we saw it, and we really, really liked it, but didn't actually pick up on watching it till we were 12, and that was when we got into it through watching the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, the era of basically like tag team wrestling, and from then on we were absolutely hooked. And the Hardy Boys have had probably the biggest influence in our wrestling career.
So. Any particular Hardy Boy?
Jeff Hardy.
As one.
Yeah.
Everyone's favourite.
Twin magic indeed. Now, Spud is currently getting dressed, but I'm sure he's paying attention. Spud, your earliest wrestling memory, has it directly influenced your approach?
It has. Everybody knows the story. My wrestling hero growing up was Hulk Hogan. Still is to this day. Because the first time I saw him, I just got mesmerised. It. First picture I ever saw of him was Hulk Hogan with the American flag draped over him, and
with the bandana on. I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
And then, I think I'd seen WrestleMania 6. I believe that was the first one I'd seen of him, or it was the Hulk Hogan Real American one where he was doing the bicep curls in the video. And then, obviously, I went to WrestleMania 6. Which was like my first wrestling show, which is crazy because my auntie and uncle lived in Toronto.
You went to WrestleMania 6?
Yeah.
You and Edge were there.
Oh, Edge was there, but I didn't meet him personally.
You hanged out with him, right?
Huh?
You hanged out with Edge, yeah?
Yeah. No, I was with my mum and dad, and my brother was a little warrior, and I was a Hulkamaniac, and I went home in tears, and honestly, I haven't had a good relationship with my brother since.
Hanging out with Edge being better than hanging out the back of Edge, of course, too. Quite grazing keys.
One of those interviews, eh?
Now, next, you mentioned Hulk Hogan, so let's talk about the Hulksters. Back at you, Spud. Hulk Hogan's been touted as one of your mentors for the show. Have you spent much time under the tutelage of the Hulkster so far?
We have, and he's given us nothing but valuable advice, and one of the most important pieces of advice he gave us was stay safe. Longevity is the key. So, that's always been a big point with me anyway, obviously. So, I think that goes for everybody.
Yeah, don't tell me twice. I don't want to jump around the ring under my back, you know, the whole match. So, don't have to tell me twice. But no, Hogan was awesome, you know, like, he is like the god of wrestling, you know. Like, I'll go out sometimes if I meet foreign people and try to explain what I do. I say I'm a wrestler, and like, oh, so I don't understand. I go, you know, like, Hulk Hogan, like, ah. Oh. So, essentially, he's bigger than wrestling, right? So, having him there to teach us is incredible, you know. And he's such a large human being as well. Just his head and his hands, just like, he just didn't look real. He's not real life. He isn't real life, is he? Well, I guess
he just said with growing up, and we always knew who Hulk Hogan was, and like we said, we saw the bit of him on WCW that time, and then we used to watch his movies, like his little random. We used to watch his movies, and obviously, just again, just growing up watching him and knowing who he was, and then to
just the voice
be backstage,
stood there listening to his voice go giving you advice, and you're thinking. Like, gosh, 8 years ago to think that's happening now is incredible. It's like, wow, Hulk Hogan.
So far we've learned that Marty likes men with big hands. Okay.
I never said I like men with big hands.
You notice men with big hands, and that's indisputable. That's on
record. I was just checking out your hands, Hulk, and I noticed they're rather large.
I've always wanted a girlfriend with small hands. Just for that.
The reverse. Anyway, let's move swiftly on. Marty, sticking with the mentors, what's the most effective piece of advice that Rollerball Rocco has offered you thus far? You know, he hasn't got a bad pedigree after all, being involved in the seasoning of Jushin Liger amongst many others.
Yeah, right. Well, Mark Rocco was actually one of my heroes growing up. You know, I was a big, big fan of the old sort of British world of sports style. So Rocco was completely awesome. Like, to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to sort of, you know, finger point one specific thing he said, just kind of being his presence, and listening to his stories, you know. And you know, he pulled me aside, you know. He said, "Marty, I think you're really talented." He said, "Look, as I'm telling this now," he goes, "you know, when the business is down, you know, this can be the shits, you know." But he said, "When you know, when it's good, you'll have the best times of your life," and you know, and you really meant it. So you know, I hope that's, you know, the best is yet to come.
Excellent, Hannah, Holly. Yeah. Rollerball Rocco.
I mean, that it was amazing for us too. Like, any of his advice was valuable just because he's had so many years of experience. I mean, even when we got home and we said to our mum, like, she's not like a huge, like, up to date with wrestling nowadays, but as soon as we said that, she was actually thinking for a second, all of a sudden went, "Hang on a second, Rollerball Rocco, I think I remember him," and then she went to tell our granddad and he remembered him. It was just kind of like, whoa. And then to think that we actually got trained by him. He gave us quite a little, like, a bit of advice once he saw us in the ring. And you know, you just take everything, because we love learning from every, like, absolutely everybody. So to have someone like him give you advice that you can take on,
from the small things to what we do in the ring, actually physically, you know, just, you know, telling us it's all about the face and just, like, obviously just all your character, and obviously making sure that everybody can see you, and just to the advice of being professional and, you know, being, he was talking even just about being women in wrestling, and obviously it's all about the glam and looking good, but he was very, you know, happy and seemed to be impressed with what we were capable of in the ring as well, and saying that that's always very good and that's always something you've got to concentrate on, which was great for us, because obviously that's something we love to hear. You know, it's all about the wrestling for us. So he was just incredible to learn from, and we were really honoured and privileged to actually have him watch us and give us feedback.
Brilliant. Spud, if I can pull you away from your 8-inch bicep curl for a moment. 8-ounce bicep curl for a moment. Oh God, this is going so wrong. Rollerball Rocco.
Best advice you gave me? Shut up. It really was.
You learned the hard way, right?
Yeah, Rocco kind of made his blood boil.
So, oh, really?
He kind of taught me an old school way of, you know, knowing my place and shutting my mouth and keep my ears open. So there you go.
Intriguing. That sounds like that's going to feature quite prominently on the show.
I'd take a look at it, because it's compelling television.
We want to watch, I think, that one. I certainly enjoyed it.
I know you do.
Okay, Marty, let's assume that you may all play a part in TNA's upcoming tour in January. Mm-hmm. Marty, who would your ideal opponent be? You're good mates with Magnus, of course.
Yeah, Magnus, he's my big brother. To be honest with you, there's loads of guys I'd love to get in the ring with. It's hard to kind of, you know, pick just one. I mean,
stop being so diplomatic.
I'd love to wrestle Kurt Angle. Obviously, you know, I think he's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, if not the greatest wrestler in the world right now. So Kurt Angle, you know, would just be magical. And the other guys, you know, guys like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. And like you said, like, some sort of thing with Nick would be great, or so Magnus, you know, whether to be team with him or wrestle against him. But you know, there's a whole host of, like, fantastic talent, so I think even to get in the ring with any of them would be, like, you know, like a huge honour and a privilege. So I'm just excited, and I hope I get a chance to do so.
Hannah, Holly, let's individually in singles match. Let's go with Hannah first.
Well, the TNA roster, as far as the women go, is probably one of the best. Like, we can't wait to get in the ring with all of them, you know, because you're going to learn so much from them. You know, huge fans of Mickie James, so to be able to wrestle, you know, against her would be amazing. And obviously right now, with ODB and Eric Young being the knockout tag team champions, it's something that, if we're going for gold straight away and we're shooting for our dream, which is obviously what we're after, is being tag team champions. So we definitely say we'd go and give that a shot, you know. We feel we're ready for it. But you know, Gail Kim and Madison Rayne, they've establish themselves as, you know, a really great tag team. So everybody.
It's a battle royal, by the way. Not kind of battle royal.
But those, you know, those specifically.
I mean,
I have to say,
Mickey James as well. She was one of them. We were lucky enough to wrestle her once before, but, like, again, we'd love to wrestle her as many times as we could. Like, she was amazing to work with. And Gail Kim, I think, in a singles match would be fun too. So yeah, they got some fantastic.
What about that Mighty Skull?
We're talking about matches.
They're in denial. Come on.
Okay, again, another question I'm sure you'll be asked all the time when the American press really kicks in, but I want to have the answers first.
What about me?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Spud.
Whoa!
How's that
doing? Oh, it doesn't matter now.
Take Rocco's advice. Sorry, Spud. Go
no,
on.
No, please. No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, please continue.
Who's the champion? Jeff Hardy. That's why I want to be in the ring with Jeff Hardy. Aiming
straight
I want to be
the
champion.
For the top.
Straight for the top. I want to be the champion. Straight up. Like, in the biggest match in the biggest arena. That's where I want to be. I want to be the top of the marquee. Boom.
Okay, excuse me there, Spud. I
no
beg your pardon.
You were doing a good job.
Wow. Oh, I'm getting heat here. This is terrible. Okay, like I said, I would like to scoop all the American press and ask you the question that everybody's going to ask you anyway, but I want to be the first to ask. Spud, the best British wrestler of all time.
The best British wrestler of all time?
Yep.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Would you fancy him in that kind of role as his young boy, as he used to like?
Well, I mean, everybody who's ever done the Big Daddy tag knows that it's an honour to give the Big Daddy tag, but it's like, Big Daddy is what everybody remembers about British wrestling, and it's just exactly the same with Hulk Hogan. Whenever you mention wrestling, everyone knows Hulk Hogan. So when you mention British wrestling, everybody knows Big Daddy. That's why I look at him as, you know, the top guy in British wrestling.
And working with Big Daddy was the launchpad for stars such as William Regal,
exactly.
Davey Boy Smith.
Well, exactly, and it's kind of like, but Big Daddy was the one that drew the houses. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody has their own place on the card, but Big Daddy was the one that drew the houses. And it's like Hulk Hogan was the one that drew the houses when he body slammed Andre the Giant. You know what I mean? So,
Holly and Hannah, best British wrestler of all time, please.
We would have to agree with everything that Spud said there as well, and maybe just.
So we've not been fortunate. We haven't seen as much like as obviously. Spud.
Hey, it doesn't have to be antiquity. We don't have to go back that far.
But I would say some, you know, people we enjoyed watching as well, just from the tag team things, is the British Bulldogs, just because that's something that can, you know, has influenced us and something that we love to watch. So, you know, again, it's different styles for everybody and different tastes, but for them, that's something that we.
And too, William Regal's obviously one for just his character work and everything that he obviously brings to the table is very different. Like different, and we grew up kind of watching him as well, so obviously he's who we remember. Big Daddy's who our mum remembers, so yeah.
Marty, you've worked with Doug and you've worked with all the guys, but who for you is the best British wrestler of all time?
Well, I think you're looking right at him, isn't it obvious? I'm kidding, I'm pulling you. Actually, my favourite British wrestler of all time is not so known as a Big Daddy or British Bulldogs. It's a man named Jim Breaks, Crybaby Jim Breaks, and he was just such an entertainer, such a great wrestler as well. And the way, like, he was like one of the first real villains of British wrestling, and the way he could wind up a crowd, it was so different to now. It wasn't the case of a guy coming out and telling the crowd to shut up. It was the way the way he grappled the guy, the way he claimed it, and the way he used to get wound up, and you could see him, you know, the subtlety of it.
Very subtle,
it was so subtle, but the crowds used to go ballistic. You know, you get those, you know, the old ladies in the front row throwing their, you know, handbags at him, and he could generate that, and he has such emotion from the crowd, and he was just an absolute fantastic performer. So yeah, Jim Breaks, I'd say, was probably my favourite British wrestler of all time.
Well, should you get the contract with TNA Impact Wrestling, let's hope you take that kind of subtlety to the Impact.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much nothing but subtle, but still, yeah.
Very good. Now, gentlemen, you're both very familiar with one another in the ring, and it hasn't always finished with a handshake and best wishes at the end of the match. Should only one of you bag a contract with Impact Wrestling, will you be gracious enough to offer the other your congratulations?
Yeah, and then slap him in the face.
Wow.
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, it's well documented that me and Spud, you know, get on with each other, and it's probably why we've been put in this competition against each other, because, you know, it's going to make great TV, right? Like, if I was here with my best friend, it's not so entertaining. Us two being together, we're going to be competitive, and, you know, things are going to happen. So I guess that's why we've been put together. I mean, to be honest with you, like, all four of us have worked really, really hard, you know. We're all, like, grateful to be in this position right now. So, you know, obviously the competition's fierce and stuff. In terms of giving him congratulations, I don't know, you have to see at the time, I guess.
Okay. I'm probably not going to be congratulating Marty or sending him a well done text or a tweet or anything.
You have to have my number first.
There's no modesty to Spud.
There's no modesty.
That's what we're learning here.
I might even do one of my little videos that I tend to do directed towards it, just say, thanks for the ride, mate. Well done.
Thanks for the ride, huh?
What's dripping this? With sarcasm there. Now, ladies, you recently made an appearance on A League of Their Own and squashed comic Mickey Flanagan.
Yes.
Did he have a big star attitude beforehand? Demand he get the win? Refuse to take any particular moves? You know, request to get more offense and anything like that?
No, he was fantastic. He was really, we keep saying it was a dream come true and quite surreal for us to actually do something like that. And he was a really great sport. And he was tough, you know, you got to watch out. But
he looked a bit sweaty.
Yes, he was a little bit.
Nice.
But they were good sports and they really got into it and they were really great to work with and everything. And I think we kind of,
I guess, scared him a little bit. You know, everybody's perceptions of wrestling, they always ask, is it fake? And I think as soon as they got in the ring, it was like, oh, like,
know,
it
they were shocked.
That's not
they
fake.
They were shocked.
No,
yes.
They did not want it.
That doesn't tickle.
They that was kind of nice. More than the, like, had to kind of thing. They were lovely about it, but I think it was a huge shock for what they were, like, getting themselves in for. Yeah.
And was Jessica Ennis impressed? Or maybe she could be recruited to a wrestling follower. You know, the success at London 2012. Would she be a worthy opponent, do you think?
She would definitely be a worthy opponent. We actually got to meet her and, you know, talk to her a little bit, and she was absolutely lovely, and it was an honour to meet her after this year at the Olympics. It was amazing. So yeah, it would be fun to see what she could do in a wrestling ring.
Okay, well, we look forward to maybe that happening. Now obviously you're a natural tag team, but when will the time come that you'll be keen to pursue individual glories as singles competitors?
I think that will come when we feel like we've reached our potential as a tag team, because we're still perfecting that, and still kind of we still have a lot to do with that. I think that we want to kind of get to a certain point with that in our heads, and then obviously we'll kind of
I think it's bound to happen, and we'd be very excited for that chapter. It's something we do think about. You know, we've always loved being a tag team, and like Holly was saying, we see ourselves, you know, with so much more to come as a tag team, but there's always in the back of our minds little things that we could do separately and little things we can do individually. And wrestling's the biggest thing that we argue about as, you know, as sisters. It's the one thing we're very passionate about. So we definitely, you know, there's always some friction, and if there's ever, we do get competitive, and we're always asked the question of who's better at this, who's better at that. So to get in the ring with each other, it would be like, it would be fun.
Marty, you look like you're itching to say something.
You got 46 years.
They can't spill up. It'd be like Jerry Halliwell leaving the Spice Girls, wouldn't it? Or Robbie leaving Take That. Like, yeah, it'd be hideous.
That's an interesting reference there, Marty.
You can't separate you two.
Now, ladies, we hear a lot about your cupcake proficiency. Have you considered, you know, with your success, forthcoming success in British Boot Camp, have you considered being cross-media superstars to pursue a TV career as chefs or something like that?
Wrestling is our first and foremost the absolute thing we absolutely love to do, but obviously we've been on League of Their Own, and all the different things we've been able to experience.
Just for the record there, Marty said get them in the kitchen.
But like shows like on the Food Network, like Cupcake Wars is something that we aspire to be on.
Cupcake Wars.
We aspire to be on, and it's something that we would enjoy and like really love to do.
We did. We were very focused on wrestling, being our sole thing. We always wanted that to be our focus. But I guess doing things like this has really opened your eyes to like our other passions in life, and baking and really is one. We love watching programs like Diners, Drive-ins and Dives, and you can't help but sit there going, I want to do that. Like, I just want to go around places, just eat cake and like be happy and all that kind of thing. So we definitely see ourselves kind of expanding and doing different things as well as wrestling.
You could be the Lady Adam Richmans of the cupcake world.
Yes, we could do that. Yes, and kick ass and wrestle at the same time.
Yeah, the whole Cupcake Wars is intriguing. It could be some kind of specialty match as well, maybe.
There you go.
There we go.
Now, moving on to the baby Jesus, Rockstar Spud. To some fans that see you in the likes of, you know, the Fight Club Pro in Wolverhampton, you're more irritating than cleaning contact lenses in bleach. are you concerned?
I can answer that.
Are you concerned that a new audience may want to throttle you more than watch you?
Hey, any reaction's a good reaction, you know what I mean? And that's what I'm there to do. I'm there to pull at people's emotional heartstrings, so there you go.
Very good.
If they want to hate me, they can hate me. If they love me, great, you know. But, like, any reaction's better than no reaction.
And what do you consider your greatest achievement in wrestling thus far?
My greatest achievement? Look at me, I'm one step away from... just being me is a great achievement. Like, I'm one step away from my dream, you know? Like, I've got my foot in the door. What? You laugh all you want. What are you laughing at?
It's a very modest group, aren't you?
Being me is a great achievement.
Being me is a great achievement. It is.
Well done, your parents. Like, bravo. Mother Spud.
Look at that incredible ovation there.
Being me is a great achievement in itself, and I honestly mean that, because like there's not many people in this business that are me. There you go.
There's not many people with that haircut, surely. Now, Spud, what's your 5-point plan for world domination then?
Win, 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 money, win. There you go.
Excellent. Now, and you're not unfamiliar to making the odd TV appearance here and there, but do you harbour any dreams of, after this show or during this show or whatever, appearing on any other kind of reality show?
yeah, take me out, because instead of getting 8 lights, I'll probably get, a full 30 lights, I reckon.
For those that don't know, that's a reference to Marty's previous appearance on a very popular TV show.
Hey, anything you can do, I can do 10 times better, mate. Anything for the day.
All right, okay, great.
Now, should, if, when you pick up a contract and make it to the Impact Zone, who would you be keen on tackling first?
Whoever the champion is, and as I said, I want to be in the main event at Wembley. I want to be the main event every day of the week.
Setting your sights very high.
Well, exactly. Matt, if you don't set your sights high, where can you go? You know what I mean?
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Now, Marty Scurll.
Yo.
Marty, you've got the technique, the look, the presence and the skills.
Oh, thank you so much. It's nice to be appreciated for once.
To be fair, this bit is cut and pasted from before. What do you think you need to do to up your game even more to rise to the top of boot camp and eventually TNA?
Well, I think, you know, like, coming from the independent level, you know, we just have to be wrestlers. We have to go out there and put on a good show. But, you know, independent wrestling to TNA is a whole different ballgame, right? It's the glitz, it's the glamour, it's the, you know, it's the cameras, it's the action, you know? So making that transition from indie wrestler to star, superstar, that's what TNA is looking for, you know? So, you know, I've got to be Party Marty times 1,000, if such thing as possible, and go there and show them what I'm all about, you know? So it's pretty much, you know, going there and making an impression and becoming a star that they want me to be. I'm making these girls laugh, apparently.
Making all the girls laugh.
Making all the girls something, that's for sure.
Okay, now, your leaders of the New School partnership with Zack Sabre Jr. Yo. One of the most popular domestic tag teams in the UK.
The most popular tag team, come on.
Okay, well, let's say that. Is this the end of that team?
You know what? Like, me and Zach, he's one of my best friends. And when we got together in the first place, he always wanted to go to Japan. Zach's a wrestler. He loves wrestling, you know. And I've always seen myself in the show business, a showman, you know. So I always saw myself in America. So, yeah, it's unfortunate because, you know, he's obviously doing well in Japan now. And I've got this opportunity with TNA. So we're probably not likely to team up as much. But he gets back, like, in a few days' time to England. So we've got a few bookings in Europe together. But, like, every time, you know, Zach's such an inspiration. He's such an incredible athlete and wrestler. So anytime I get to team with him or work with him, it's always a huge honour. And I wish the best of luck to him. You know, if it's the end of us as a tag team, then we had a great run.
Oh, why don't you just get married? God. Fucking hell.
Now, Marty, Robbie E has been spouting off about you in a recent interview.
I heard this, yeah.
He called you a wannabe. Due to your shared trait of fist pumping and trying to get girls like him. And he's insisted that he's going to take you down.
He went out with Cookie, for crying out loud.
And he was never on Take Me Out either, was he?
Listen, right, I've heard these comments from Robbie E, okay, right, and he said there's only room for one party animal in TNA. He's American, I'm British. I'm pretty sure the Brits can party a little bit harder than those Americans, right?
No, I'm sure they can drink.
I think
harder.
We can handle our booze a little bit more. It might not be showing, but we can handle our booze a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Again, for the benefit of the people at home, we've just seen Marty knock over a couple of bottles of Pepsi. But and the night is still but young.
Yeah. Now, I'll be in the bathtub by 10.
Like Spud, you're a cross-media personality, which we've already alluded to, and that's the third time I've used that phrase on this interview.
Look at you.
Let's get a bit showbiz here.
Go on.
Now, Paddy's obviously married.
Yeah, his wife is hot as well, man.
She's very hot.
Jesus Christ. Paddy McGuinness's wife. Oh, right. Oh, my God.
But take me out of the gossip, co-host Mark Wright. Now, you must have gone out on the Raz with him. Who's the best at pulling?
Between me and Mark Wright? Well, Mark Wright got their attention and I took the girls. Let's move that way, okay? You know? I'm a little less intimidating than Mark Wright, I think, so he'd get the ladies and then I'd clean house, you know? So thank you, Mark, for all the hard work, you know? And thank you very much.
Is he a good lad?
Yeah, he's quite simple, but he's a nice guy. And you know what? Like I said this before, like people like give these reality stars a lot of slack and stuff. Like, well, you know, they're rich and famous, but they've got no talent. It's like, well, I say to them, bravo, you know, like if you've got no talent and you're making a great living, then fair play to you.
And also, you guys are going to be showing.
It's Chance for Blossoms.
You are going to be the new reality star, so you're going to be able to show that up, aren't you? Now, Spud.
Oh my god.
Spud, your closing words, please.
Yeah?
Your closing words, please. Your message.
Closing words?
Yeah, message to the fans.
Alright. How's it going?
These promos may need a bit of work.
Yeah.
Alright. Blossom Twins.
Give me a second.
We cannot wait for everybody to see British Boot Camp come January, because it's been something we've been working 8 years for, and we're really, really excited to show people what we're capable of and what we can do, and we're ready to make an impact in TNA. So enjoy it, and thank you for all your support.
Marty.
Yep, for those who haven't seen me, expect New Year's Eve in a human being. I'm the fireworks, I'm the alcohol, I'm the life of the party. I am the
I am slurring my words. And I'm the Van Wilder of professional wrestling, so expect a good time. And I'm sure you're all absolutely going to love TNA British Bootcamp coming exclusive to Challenge on New Year's Day, every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Woo!
Let's hope you're not the late night kebab and the hangover. Spud, we've given you a moment. We're coming back to you.
Don't worry, you probably need Marty to rerun his promo because he's forgetting what to say.
You said nothing at the start of your promo. You said, all right, how's
promo.
It going?
Oh, it's a promo now, not an interview. Okay, sorry, I went further than my word for my earlier. Yeah. But yeah, now Marty, don't worry, Marty. I remember when I had my first beer. It's fine. So, yeah, it's
like exactly what... You're like, you don't drink beer, right?
It's like what everybody says, man. It's like January the 1st, Challenge TV, New Year's Day on 2013. British Boot Camp, TNA contract up for grabs, the Blossom Twins, Marty Skrull, Rockstar Spud. Whoever wins this is going to be a TNA superstar. Watch the fireworks go off.
Listeners, that's what's known as a hard sell.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me.
All right. Yeah, buddy.